What is intraventricular or hemorrhage? Intraventricular hemorrhage is a brain lesion that affects predominantly term infants, which is considered very rare. It is one in every 5,000 to 15,000 births. It is definitely underestimated, which is scary because, as we will see, it can have a progression and it consists of thrombosis of cerebral venous vessels. When blood enters into the germinative matrix, it not only gets dirty, but gets irritated, and as a result, it can inflate these ventricles, which gradually widen. This is one of the most typical complications. In this case, posthemorrhagic ventricular dilation is also defined as posthemorrhagic hydrocephalus. This condition occurs predominantly in the first 3 to maximum 5 days of life of premature infants. It is all the more frequent as they are of lower gestational age. Life-compatible prematurity starts from 23 to 24 weeks. Of course, a child of 23 to 24 weeks is exposed to risks when compared to one of 28 weeks. Consequently, a 28-week baby risks more than a 30-week one. These risks exist until the 32nd or 33rd week. Why does it bleed? The reason for bleeding is twofold. The germinative matrix, the brain structure that remains from fetal life, has worked very hard to produce neurons, then it gradually disappears. Thus, the lower the gestational age, the more it is represented at 23/24 weeks in the order of 2 to 3, or even 4 millimeters thick. It is made of a very weak and fragile substance, with equally fragile vessels, and therefore it easily bleeds. Of course, these children are very unstable, especially in the first few days of life. From a clinical point of view, they have pressure swings and respiratory problems. So, the lung causes the heart to fill up at times with difficulty. There are several causes that encourage these vessels' rupture and intraventricular hemorrhage appearance. Obviously, this situation is much more frequent in premature infants who live outside the mother's womb, but this is possible for various reasons, often still unknown, even during fetal life, that is, when the fetus quietly lies in the mother's womb. The recognized causes of these bleedings when they occur in stages during fetal life are mainly traumas, but perhaps some predisposing genetic conditions could exist as well. Those ones are at study stage. What are the possible complications? We have already mentioned one, that of posthemorrhagic hydrocephalus. Often, it is the way in which you notice this event when it rarely happens at the intrauterine level. We speak of an incidence of 1 in every 10,000 born. Conversely, intraventricular hemorrhage in premature children under 31 weeks of gestation, weigh less than 1,500 grams, reaches 25%, depending on how it is diagnosed. Through resonance, the most refined way to see small bleedings, you also reach 30-35% of this population. So, more than 1 every 3 may have this bleeding. Another dreaded complication that occurs during the acute phase first 3, 4, 5, 6 days is the so-called unilateral venous infarction, i.e., only one side. This term refers to the suffering of the cerebral parenchyma, probably due to the compression of dilatation to these small venous vessels thrombosis, because the intraventricular hemorrhage has a venous origin. When we talk about a bleeding, it's thought to be an arterial vessel that breaks down and continues to drain blood high blood pressure. Not at all. It's a hemorrhage coming from venous vessels. So this brain substance compression on the parenchyma causes it to suffer progressively. Its venous drainage is prevented, contrasted, and therefore, this suffering slowly leads to the brain substance's death around the periventricular ventricles. This means that there is just a loss of substances and therefore, you cut some white matter fibers. Some motor results are possible. They derive from the venous infarction's location and size, that is, in what position is it? Those ones may be around the lateral ventricles, around the frontal horn, around the temporal horn or occipital horn. It's the position that counts regardless of the amount of substance lost. What types of intervention are possible? The posthemorrhagic hydrocephalus complications can be treated by neurosurgery. There are different types of interventions. In the first procedure, the external derivation is used in the hope that a little tube, which drains the cerebrospinal fluid outside the brain, is not necessary to attach it to a constant drainage later. In this way, it is possible to avoid this constant drainage that is connected to the peritoneum. So, there is a tube that comes out of the brain and goes up to the peritoneum in at least 50-60% of cases. Other techniques consist of placing a catheter under the skin every day, twice a day. This method also tries to prevent the placement of a permanent ventricular peritoneal derivation that the newborn could carry during all its life. It is possible to get back to a normal life. It is comforting that both in posthemorrhagic hydrocephalus, if well treated, and in the venous infarction, if it is small, A baby can aspire with a good dose of hope to a perfectly normal life, even in those children who have a permanent derivation of peritoneal ventricle type. Written originally in Italian by Professor Luca A. Raymond, PhD, University of Leeds, UK Department of Neuroscience, Rehabilitation, Ophthalmology, Genetics, Child and Maternal Health, Dinami, Professor of Pediatrics, University of Genoa, Italy. SEO and English Translation, M. E. Campa, Research Fellow in Communication.